Welcome to the Queen of Uncomfortable Discussions. Our podcast today is going to be a series of podcasts looking at boundaries, setting boundaries. Today I want to talk about why it is difficult for white people to acknowledge and respect other people's boundaries. Are you a white person and you have been called out for not respecting a BPOC's boundaries that they set for you? Do you find yourself struggling to accept this and you feel frustrated to the extent that you feel like crying because nobody is understanding you? Well, let us get down to this, structured and step by step. First things first, let us look at what is setting boundaries mean and what are the ways in which I can set boundaries independent of what the subject we are looking at. Close your eyes and think quietly, and you will notice tons of things around you that you may have never consciously viewed as boundaries. The obvious visible ones, such as property line, borders, showing where one thing ends and where the other begins. These are boundaries that have been set, not to hurt, but to make it possible for us to live mutually with one another. But where do boundaries actually come from? There are many factors which influence our boundaries form and develop. How we are raised, white people how white people have been socialized, how BPOCs have been raised, how BPOCs have been socialized in terms of boundaries. And what our value, what we value when we are setting boundaries. What we value as a community, what we value as individual, what we value maybe in at our workplace when it comes to the topic boundary. And the most important, and this goes across globally the world, our cultures. Our culture play a very important role. Now, I'm a cross-cultural trainer. And one of the things that you're going to learn about boundaries, for example, when we're looking at the different cultures, or we're trying to compare the different cultures, which I don't want to do right now. But when you look at some cultures, the distance that we have, the arm length distance that we have with a stranger when we're communicating, is very different across cultures. In some cultures, the arm length is shorter, in the others are two arm lengths or more, depending on where you are. So there again, we're looking at boundaries and why we are respecting them. So let us look at the boundaries on personal levels, the ones that me personally I'm going to be determining, or the ones that me and people that look like myself have grown to define as our boundaries. On personal levels, boundaries help us to define what we are comfortable with and how we'd like to be treated by others. They apply to any kind of relationship you have, whether with a friend, a family member, partner, strangers, or anyone else in your life. Boundaries define who we are, how we interact with others, and what is acceptable. Personal boundaries encompass physical, emotional, and mental limits we establish to protect ourselves from being manipulated or used or even violated by others. We often think of boundaries as being defensive in terms of what we want to keep out. While that is true, the opposite is also true. Boundaries are about what I value and what I want more in my life. So boundaries allows us to separate who you are and what you think and feel from the thoughts and the feelings of others. They are our guidelines of what is acceptable to us. So you notice that boundaries on a personal level, it kind of like a big bubble around me as to what I want or who I want in and outside of this bubble. So reasons why setting boundaries are important are they are a way of practicing self-care and self-respect. So it, like I said, like a balloon, depending on which side of the balloon you are in, it is a question of, I am practicing my self-care. I'm taking care of my self-care. And go and research what is actually self-care, apart from just the mental and the physical, the health. Go and look at this, how big the spectrum of what is self-care entails. And also self-respect. Boundaries help us to communicate our needs in a relationship, which is going to bring us to the topic that I am going to be touching today about the hair. But let's go down first and look at how we can ensure and make sure that the space that we are interacting with is on equal basis. Because boundaries ensure that we make time and space for positive and equal interactions. I'd like that you take a minute and just think of that. And I'm going to repeat. They make time and space for positive and equal interactions. So when we have boundaries, it allows us to set limits in a relationship in that healthy way. That means we share personal information gradually and create mutual and trusting relationship. Again, I'd like to repeat. We share personal information gradually and create mutual and trusting close relationship. Now, I'd like to talk about my experience last week. I was going to Aldi. I live in a small town, so our biggest shopping mall would be the Aldi. And I normally would like to just, I don't like shopping, so I'd like to just go do what I'm going to do, come out. Apart from the fact I'm going through grief right now, so when I go to shop, I kind of have memory flashbacks of this would have been something my husband would be doing. So I'd like to spend as little time as possible. Now I'm sitting in a wheelchair. I am black. I'm not particularly slim. So when I leave the house with my wheelchair, by the way, I've been disabled since I was the age of 6 years old. So I kind of like know what I can and what I cannot be able to manage. So I go to Aldi and I want to do my shopping in peace. So I'm looking for particular items that I need. And I have a sophisticated Rolls. I've got a sophisticated wheelchair. Sorry, I was about to go into the German description. I've got a sophisticated wheelchair, and I don't want to brag, but when I use my wheelchair and I use the lift motors, I can be as tall as Michael Jordan, and I just want to brag that a bit. So which means I can be able to pick those items. And if you're in Aldi in Germany, Aldi South, you're going to find where the passion fruits are or where the mangoes are. They kind of high. So it means you're going to have to, you know, kind of like if you're short, you know, go on your toes and be able to get it. But this time I've got this sophisticated thing. So I go and I put my basket down, a small basket. I don't need to do a lot of shopping. Others, I do my shopping differently. So I put my basket down and I want to get up there and have the possibility to use both hands to check on and to hold on to find out which is the best passion fruit. Now, for most people that see disabled people, they only see the disability. They don't see me, right? They don't see that I am a human being that has the ability to have complex things like emotions. Good and bad, like for instance that maybe I would like to be seen and not this the disability. So the very first thing that anybody is going to do is, can I help you? And even before I answer, I'm already being helped. So the incident that happened last time, I was talking about this to my son, is that I had put the basket down to pick up my favorite fruits, the passion fruits, and the lady came and she said, can I help you? And I told her, no, I'm okay, fine, thank you. No, she went ahead, picked up the basket, and I've now got the height of Michael Jordan, and she tried to give me the basket on top of her head to reach my hands. which I had to now help her to help me to help put the basket on my lap, and that I had to now use the gadget to now bring again the wheelchair on a normal level and to be able to put the basket again down and again thank her. And again, she insisted that she is there to help me. Now, what I noticed is she did not respect my boundaries, because she does not expect that anything like myself, disabled, has the right to draw boundaries for her as a person who considers herself to be normal. So there was no possibility for us to create a mutual and trusting close relationship. She did not ask me as first, oh, good morning or good afternoon, how are you? And then proceed, should you want help, feel free to ask. That is something more important, because the good morning, first of all, means you did not see disability, you saw a human being, which I am. And the boundary setting is, should you need any help, I would be here to help you. So we kind of like build some sort of a trust, going on to a step ahead, acknowledge there are boundaries that are being respected. Nonetheless, should it be necessary for me to look for help or to need help, she would be there. Now, I consider that to be much more respectful in terms of respecting my boundaries, but also in terms of her acknowledging that she has seen we need to have boundaries, that we need to, first of all, create some mutual and a trusting relationship before we proceed to crossing those boundaries. Boundaries protect us and others physically and emotional space. Now, for me, emotionally, I would be so delighted that somebody would say, I have seen a human being, but not I have seen a disabled. The description of first being a disabled, then the description of my skin color, and then the description of my weight. All this takes away the breadth of who I am, the breadth of the boundaries that I would like to have set for myself. I lose those control in the sense that you take them over and you have those controls of what my boundaries should be. So why is it difficult for white people to respect other people's set boundaries? Now, this is something that goes back to historical reasons on the relationship that white people have with black people. But let us look at, for example, a very, very concrete example is touching our hair. There is always this fascination that white people have with black hair that makes us black people sick and, yes, even suspicious. It is sickening. That is the objectifying. It is going back historically. We are the utility. We are the property. We are that pet that you can go around and touch at will. So when you touch my hair, there are several messages that you are sending out there. Let us just first of all look at the historical background. For many people in the world, outside the white spaces, hair has an important and sacred part in the cultures and beliefs of other people. And this needs to be respected. During the slave trade era, slaves were forced to shave their hair by their masters. Apart from the fact that slaves were never seen as human beings, rather as black cattle, hence personal hygiene never played a significant role for white people. That is why it was just necessary to keep the fleas and stuff like that, that the hair be shaved. So now, when we look at the historical and power dynamics that was imposed on the black bodies, we can see exactly when touching my hair, what are we looking at? What are the power dynamics that we are looking at? Yeah. The next issue is that the lady called Renata, let us call her Renata, who has just who was just passing behind me. I did not know her. I did not acknowledge that she was there behind me. Reaches out and touches my hair. And she assumes that she's the first and the most intelligent person that has done this. I left the house at 8 a.m. in the morning. So let us try and guess how many Renatas or Ottos had the same idea and did the same thing. Let us continue to expand my day. I lost my husband last year and I'm struggling dealing with grief. I make my way out on one of the good days to town just to change my scenario. And then this happens to me. Explain to me how I feel. How would you feel, Renata and Otto, if 10, 20, 30 people you meet are all touching your hair? Explain this to me. One of the biggest problems with touching our hair is that the hygiene factor. We have a different texture of hair and we do not know whether you washed your hands, for example, when you went to the toilet, after you left the toilet or after leaving the toilet. You do not have a signpost which shows that you always wash your hands. And that moment you are about to touch my hair, your hands are actually clean. So how many people are going to be doing this? How much am I supposed to take as a person each time you have a Renata and Otto out there on a time span of maybe 4 hours, wanting always to touch my hair? Now, there is also the perpetuated inequalities in touching my hair. Let us look at the question regarding also these inequalities. How often do you get somebody ask you as a white person, unsolicited, ask you or even unsolicited, touch your hair? How many times has that happened to you as a white person? If you are a white person, let us say a woman, and a man comes and touches your hair, would you consider this as appropriate? Or would you actually consider it to be a sexual molestation? For most white people or white employees, the idea of asking a coworker to touch their hair is incomprehensible. Asking to touch a black person's hair when you do not or have never asked to touch a white person's hair or a white person's counterpart hair perpetuates inequality treatment and makes the presumption that black hair is an arbitration. It is not normal. It is not the norm. By asking to touch a black person's hair, you are feeding into the narrative that white hair is the norm and anything outside of it is abnormal. If you find that you have the urge to touch black people's hair, ask yourself two very important questions. How were you socialized to look at black people? What are those type of dinner table discussions do you nature from your ancestors' time regarding black people? I want to add a third one, which will trigger. Which side of the slave era were your ancestors? The abolitionist sides or the people who were against abolishing slave trade? Because depending on which side you are, you have natured what your ancestors passed down to you in how you see us. So let us sum up and agree. We all have a right to set boundaries. Touching or even asking me to touch my hair is an act of microaggression. Touching or even with or without the person's permission of touching my hair is a sexual molestation. Thank you for now. I hope that I've triggered you, because this is the reason why we're having these uncomfortable conversations. I'd like to hear your feedbacks, though. Let me know what you think. Let us discuss and let us get uncomfortable. Thank you.